Well, I'm about to present to you something a little weird tonight. I want to be talking about covenant. I'm aching for that. There are 7 different types of covenants in the Bible. And my first lesson on the covenant left many of you in the clouds. Somebody said, I didn't quite understand what you tried to say on the covenant stuff, but I liked it. That's okay. I'm going to do it again, but I'm going to simplify, put in layman's words. That's the best thing you can do, because you call so many difficult words, I had no clue what you're talking about. But my boss wanted me to do something different. Last Sunday night, how many of you remember what was the title of the meditation?
Mercy.
Huh? No, that was like a year ago. Hindrances from hearing the voice of God. I really don't know why I preached that, but I was told to do it. It didn't make any sense to me. So, out of curiosity, I wanted to know how many scriptures there are in the Bible that speaks about the voice of God. And for my shocking and delightful surprise, there are 297 verses that speaks about the voice of God. If I combine together the voice of God and the voice of man, there are 498 mentions and 454 verses in the Bible that speaks about the voice. Lately, we have got a lot of calls of people asking, especially when John Hunter was here, and when Catherine Rinala was here. Folks that came during those conferences often send emails, or sometimes they call, leave a message, how can I hear the voice of God? Is it even possible for somebody to hear the voice of God? You know, and that's what caused me to print out all those scriptures that speaks about the voice of God, and I'm just searching one by one, and for some reason, last Sunday night, I had something put together. I was even thinking about making a pamphlet about this thing, but the Lord wanted me to concentrate on the hindrances. Is it possible to hear the voice of God today? Absolutely. Now, my question is, how many of you would like to hear the voice of God today? Okay, a few of you do. There is a predisposition not to bother about this, because many times when you hear the voice of God, you may be told to do something and you may not be quite willing to do it. You may ask, all right, if this is true, how do I hear the voice of God? Well, I showed you last week the hindrances that there may be that prevent people from hearing the voice of God. Tonight, I want to take you in a different route, still relating to hearing the voice of God. So you may be thinking, okay, preacher, what's the title of tonight's meditation? Heeding the voice of God. And I want to start by saying this. Many people throughout their religious experience and affiliation has heard many voices. Some have heard the voice of condemnation. Oh, you sinner, you did this and this and that and the other. Which many times is not the voice of God, it's your own conscience. Others have heard the voice of rebuke and shame, the voice of disapproval. And everything else in between. They have heard all the voices, but the voice of love, which is the voice of God. So I want to start by saying that from the get-go, God always wanted you and I to hear His voice. If somebody would ask me, do you know? Antonoy Koshenko. No. Who is Antonoy Koshenko? I don't know. I heard about this guy, Koshenko. I guess he's a guy. But I never heard his voice. I don't know the guy because I never heard the guy's voice. Somebody just came in here recently. And I'm coming out of the door. The lady said, is Pastor Santos in? I said, he is. Is it possible to talk to him? I said, I think it is. Can you take me to him? I said, he came to you. She said, are you Pastor Santos? I said, that's what they call me. She said, I've been listening to you on the internet, on the podcast. But the picture that I had of you was completely different. I said, oh boy. Oh boy, I'm afraid of asking, how did you picture me? She said, I imagine a little short Hispanic guy with the hair pointing up, like a Mexican type. I said, well, I've been called worse. Then I answered the questions. I preached a sermon one of these Sundays, and she said, that sermon messed me up. This thing has been nagging me, and I'm here tonight because I need some explanation. So we got service inside. After service, we can talk. So it's just one question, so I answer her question. By hearing my voice, that woman made the picture of who I was. Mm-hmm. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
If you have never heard the voice of your God, to some extent, it's difficult for you to understand or to picture how your God is. Are you with me here? For that reason, I believe that God always intended, God always wanted to communicate through His voice. To communicate with you and I, with and through His voice. Prove it. From the get-go, Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, says the following. Read it with me. So, He said, from the get-go in the Garden of Eden, Adam heard the voice of God. Now, the theologians on the old days, I don't know today because everything has changed nowadays, but on the old days, after we finish a systematic theology class, we were thrown in a corner, and then we're going to debate. And this was the verse that was assigned to me. I had to create a turmoil with this verse here to cause everybody to think. I even asked my teacher, can you give me something easier? What can I get out of this? He said, go read it. You're scheduled for Friday. Today's only Tuesday. So I go and I read this thing like 1,000 times. And I'm thinking, I give up. I mean, what can I see here that would have caused a storm and put people to think? And then I went the last time. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden. That means that God was speaking in the garden before he came to Adam. Is that correct?
Yes.
If he wasn't speaking, he couldn't hear his voice. The question is, who was he speaking to? So I decided to speculate. Well, it could have been that the Father was talking to the Son. And the Holy Ghost. He was talking to someone, and it wasn't the devil. Because he addresses the devil for last, afterward. And then everybody, what? So take a look, it says. I heard your voice in the garden. How could he hear God's voice unless God was speaking? And that was good enough to have the whole school messed up for a whole month. Yes! From the get-go, God wanted his voice to be heard by mankind. And Adam used to listen to the voice of God in the garden. And I believe the same is true today. God wants you and I to be able to listen to his voice. I'm not going to put the verse up there, but Jesus said, my sheep. You know, one scripture says, hears my voice. The other one says, knows my voice. And follow me. I was trying to find the video on YouTube, on Facebook. Somebody sent me a video. Not a preacher, and said, if you ever want to preach about hearing the voice of God, I think this is going to happen. Here's this guy somewhere out there on the Midwest. And there's a herd of sheep. So they kind of bet money that the sheep would not listen to nobody else. So the shepherd sounded like he should, like what he did when he was looking for the sheep in private. So somebody put the money here. Yeah, whoa, 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 whoa. The sheep kept eating. Yeah, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he goes on for like 10 minutes. He gave up. The guy, second guy said, well, let me show you how it's done. Yeah, whoa, 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 whoa. They're all scattered. So three of them tried. So the shepherd is just collecting the $100 bill. Then he goes out without a word. He just come. Yeah. Then all the sheep lift their heads. Yeah. And then all of them came around him. The good shepherd from the get-go used to speak to men on the Garden of Eden. And it is still his desire to continue to speak to you and I. And I can assure you one thing. The voice of Jesus is indescribable. And once you went through it, you will never confound his voice with any other voice. There is a pitch to his voice that is unique. There is a soundness, a deepness in his voice, and yet a softness in his voice that's not to compare to none else. And I believe that God wants us to know his voice. And it starts in the Garden of Eden, and it is still true today. One of the ways for you and I to identify and recognize the voice of God is that his voice always agrees with love. You say, what do you mean by that? When God is dealing with us, whether it's instructing, correcting, or just plainly talk, God will always talk with us in a love tone. Can you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So if you are hearing love, that means you are usually hearing God. If you are hearing retaliation or unkind thoughts towards other people or bitterness, and things like these, you are definitely hearing an ungodly voice, which is not the voice of God. I will go as far as to say, in fact, if you are hearing things like, you are a failure, that's not the voice of God. That's not our God. Or if you're hearing something like, You're not going to make it. That's not the voice of God. Or if you're hearing things like, look at all your mistakes. That's not the voice of God. Or if you're hearing like, oh, come on, you know you can't recover from this. It is not the voice of God. This is not the voice of love. Therefore, I am here to tell you this definitely is not the voice of God because it's not the voice of love. You may be thinking, well, I think you're kind of bold to make such a statement. When God came to talk to Adam, the prior verse, Brother Harry, can you put verse 9 over there, 3:9? Watch this. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where are you? Now, do you think that God didn't know the mess that he had already done? Are you with me so far? God already knew that the dude messed up with his wife. God knew they're going to be playing the blame game. And yet, God just said, you stinking sinner, where are you? No. He goes on, Adam, where are you? Then Adam said, well, I heard your voice in the garden, and I hid because I was naked. He then goes on verse 11 and says, who told you that you're naked? Then Adam started playing stupid. Well, you know, I was doing fine with no woman, but you, the woman that you made and brought me, she heard the voice of the devil, and she took the fruit, and she gave it to me. And you couldn't have said no? That's not what God said. God goes to the woman, what is it that you do? He said, oh, wait a minute, it wasn't me. It was the serpent. She's the one who talked me into this. And still, God didn't blast on them. Are you following me so far? God came to them with a voice of love. Anytime that you are hearing condemning voices in your head or coming out from anybody else's lip, you can't make it. Do you remember all the sins that you committed? That's not the voice of God.
Amen.
Period. So what you're saying, preacher? When God is speaking to us, it's always through the voice of love. Even when we have messed up like Adam did. I know that some of you are not buying this. So let me show you something here. In Mark 1:11, we read the following. Read it with me. Then look at the first thing God spoke to Jesus that we have recorded in the Bible. This is the first thing that God spoke to Jesus that is recorded in the Bible. As soon as Jesus came out of the waters of baptism, a voice came from heaven. We're talking again about voices, right? And what was the statement? You are my beloved. You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. I said, okay, what is the importance of this? What is the significance of this? Notice that before Jesus ever ministered, are you with me so far? Before Jesus ever ministered, before Jesus ever performed a miracle, God spoke to him about his love that he had for Jesus. Are you following me so far? I'm trying to say something here tonight. He's out of the water. Never healed anybody yet. Never performed any miracle. But the first statement that the Father does about His Son is, He's saying, you are my beloved. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How is this important to you and I? I'll tell you how. God's love for Jesus, and I will say for you and I, was not and is not based on performance. Can I hear an amen here?
Amen.
What? God's love for Jesus, His Son, was not based on performance because He had not yet performed any miracle. The miracle will come a few weeks away on Cana in Galilee when He turned water into wine. That was the first miracle. The Bible says, with that He began His ministry. Yet, when He comes out of baptism, a voice came from heaven to say, you are my beloved Son. The voice of God will always treat you in love. It's the voice of love. Now, many of us came up from some harsh religious background where there is always, you know, something to whip us up. That is not only the Catholics. Pentecost of the Holiness. Brethren in Christ. And we could go on and on and on. It's always a whip. Wham. Wham. You're a sinner. You cannot do this. You should not do that. But this is not how God addressed Jesus. Why? Because God's love for Jesus was not based on His performance. And I am here to tell you that God's love for you is not based on your performance. What? So you mean to tell that I can mess up? Well, if you mess up, you're going to get hit. And I'll tell you this. Children that messes a lot gets spanked a lot. If parents cannot discipline them today, life will. The thugs will. The government will. So what you're saying? God's love for you is not based on performance. Are we together so far? Listening to the voice of God is one of the best things that you can do because it will affirm God's love for you. And I'll tell you this. There are many times that I am banged out of shape. You? Yes. Yes. I mean, you guys have each other. You can go to each other and start talking and pray for each other. I don't. Where you go? You go to your wife? No. Why not? It's not because there's anything wrong. But there are certain things that I've got to have some higher power. Somebody else to talk about. My beloved wife will pray for me, but there are some stuff that it has to be between me and God. And you have no idea how encouraging it is to have the voice of God speaking and affirming. You know, when I got all those results and they told me that I was all messed up and all this and the other, middle of the night, a voice spoke to me. Toughen up. You're going to get through this. I mean, for some people, what kind of lousy statement is this? But the sweetness of that voice was so good.
Hallelujah.
So good.
Amen.
That everything went all right. The nodule on the liver start shrinking. And by the time I go next time, it's not going to be there anymore.
Amen.
The cloggedness, the artery that was clogged, now is unclogged.
Amen.
The heart murmur is gone.
Amen.
The leaking valve is healed.
Yes.
Whatever hole was there has been patched. Huh? It is on those moments of difficulty that hearing the voice of God means everything. In my case, toughen up. You're going to get through this. Now, I've been back. I said, you know, could you have spared me from that? No, I could, but I didn't want to do that. Why? And then when the explanation was given to me, it made sense. Now, yeah, I know you say, what was the explanation? None of your business. This is between me and my God. So, chill out. So what you're saying, preacher? This is the most important and foundational word from God that Jesus received. And this is the most important thing we can ever hear from God. I love you. You're mine. Folks, it's so good to hear the voice of God. Especially on those times of difficulty, in those times of loneliness. It is so good to hear the voice of God. If we fail to hear the voice of love that is speaking to us, guiding us, correcting us, instructing us, we fail to hear the voice of God. There were many other things that God spoke to Jesus, and there will be many other things that He will speak to you and I. But none is as important as I love you. And I believe it will be incredibly difficult for us to hear anything else from God if we don't first hear, I love you. Yes. Amen. You are my child, yes, in whom I am well pleased. Yes. And you know what? When God says, you are my beloved, or I love you, I believe that He means three things. What are they, preacher? Number one, when God says, you are my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased, I think that one of the things that He means is, being God's beloved, we can be assured that His company, His presence, will be always with us. Because in Hebrews 13:5, He promised that He will never leave us. So when God says, you are my beloved, you can count that God is going to stick around. Not like many earthly father, that at some point in time we walk away. When God says, you are my beloved, God's going to stick around for thick and thin all the time. Yes. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says the following. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, when God says you are my beloved, I think that comes with this, boys and girls, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can bank on that. And this is what is so good. Knowing that in the darkest times in our lives, there is going to be a voice is speaking to us. Whatever we may be. I believe that when God says that He loves us, He also means that He will never break His promises to you and I. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8, and then verse 9. But because the Lord... You missed it. But because the Lord... And because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His command. When God says, you're my beloved, He's telling you, you know what? I'm not only sticking around, but I'm not going to break my covenant. I'm not going to break my promises. How does that work, preacher? Okay. I came from a family from the people of the book. But they messed up big time. They didn't want to follow Jesus at all. For some odd reason that has to be love, one day I heard that voice. I said yes to that voice. We start a new chapter. From this point forth, up to 1,000 generations of my descendants, God will keep His covenant as long as they love Him and keep His commandments. Are you following that? As long as they love God and keep His commandment, God will not break the covenant, the promises. When God says, you're my beloved, it's also a way to say, I'm sticking with you. I'm not breaking the promise that I make to your parents, to your ancestors, to your fathers. And this is why it's so important hearing the voice of God. I think that when God says, you are my beloved, He also means like, I will never remember your sins. Why do you think that? Because the voice of love is not a condemnation voice. And because it's a voice of love, the only person that remembers our past sins is us. And sometimes we talk about it so much that the devil gets a ride on this. Yeah, you're right, you stinking sinner. Who do you think you are? You're not going to make it. That's not the voice of love. No. Are you with me? If you listen to Hebrews 8:12, watch this. Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful. It's a good thing being beloved of God.
Yes.
He's going to wipe out the sins. And He will not remember that stuff anymore.
Amen.
Recently, one of the saints that attend our church came to me and said, Pastor, I want to ask your forgiveness. I said, uh-oh. What happened? Do you remember what I told you a year ago? Said, I don't remember what I ate last week. But I said something. You really don't remember? Said, are you crazy? That's for old people. Holding grudges. That's for old people. Oh, wow. Anyway, I said, yabbity, 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 yabbity. Oh, that's right. You did say that. Now I remember. And this thing has been eating me out. So, well, that's good news for you. I had already forgot about this stuff. But the good news is that your Heavenly Father has also forgot about it. Did you ever ask forgiveness? Yes, right after I said that, I saw that I messed up. I said, Lord, forgive me. Then I asked, and why are you still being bothered with this? I don't know. The devil is talking. The devil is talking to you. You got to get saved. Oh, I am saved. No, you're not. Saved people don't hear the voice of the devil. You know, sometimes we are the only ones remembering this stuff we did. The Bible says in here, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. In other words, when they messed up, I'm going to have mercy on them. And their sins and their lawless deeds. Things that I did that is against the law of God. He's saying, I will remember no more. It is good to hear the voice of God and be remembered. That God's not interested in what happened on the past. You confess the sin? Yes, I did. Move on. The only person remembering your sins is yourself. And if you keep talking about that enough, the devil will too. Some folks have difficult understanding. How is that even possible? In the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, we find this. Listen to what God is saying. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, though they are red like crimson, God does not remember the mess that we got into. Are you with me so far? So what you're saying, preacher? The voice of God is a voice of love. Are you with me?
Yes.
The voice of God is not a voice of condemnation. This is why I say, when you hear that voice, oh, you can't get that thing straight. You cannot get that thing right. That's not the voice of God. Remember the mess that you had before in your life? That's not the voice of God. Or you're just reaping what you sowed. That's not the voice of God, because God will not remember the sins of the past. Amen. That's not the voice of love. I believe, my beloved, that upon this holy foundation, the voice of God's love, we can begin to accurately hear His voice. Say it again. I believe that upon this holy foundation of the voice of God's love, we can begin to accurately hear His voice. Many people have a distorted view of God's love, and therefore they cannot hear His voice. What do you mean? Remember the lady I spoke to you that came trying to talk to Pastor Paul, and she thought he was a little short Mexican guy with the hair pointing up? And then when she see that guy 6'2", are you Pastor Paul? Yes, that's what they call me. Oh, wow. I picture you differently. Many times, because we have a distorted view of God, it makes it hard for us to hear the voice of love, the voice of God. Yesterday, I am at my office, and a young lady called in, 44 years old, in misery and torment, because some time ago, this young lady got involved with a Muslim guy. And these guys are punks. They are not looking for a wife. And now things are falling apart, and she says, I think that I'm reaping the result of what I did. I think God is angry at me. I said, no, that's not the God that we serve. Then I quoted her that scripture. Let's reason. Let's reason. Get that straight. I think this is the reason God says, let's reason about this stuff. You're thinking wrong about me. Because although your sins are red, are like scarlet, I'm going to make them white as snow. If they're red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. God is not interested in keeping a bad record of what we did on the past, so His voice can throw it in our faces. That's not the voice of God. That's not the voice of love. That is a distorted view of our God. So, preacher, what you're saying? Well, I'm saying this. I strongly encourage you to meditate on the verses that I just gave you. Embrace the concept. Embrace this concept. Hearing the voice of God begins with hearing the voice of love. I believe that this revelation will open the door to everything else God wants to speak to you and everything else God wants to do in your life. What? Yeah. God always wanted for us to hear His voice. Listen to Exodus 19:5. Would you care to read it with me? Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, does that include you?
Yes.
For all the earth is mine. So what you're saying, preacher? God is still speaking today. God is still waiting for us to make room in our busy schedule to train ourselves to listen to the voice of God, because we are a special treasure to God. I want you to reach out to somebody and say, you are a special treasure in God's chest.
You are a special treasure.
Let me give you a few more scriptures. Let's go real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 30. Watch this. When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days. Could we talk? Is it fair to say that we are in the latter days? When you turn to the Lord, your God, and obey His voice, a bunch of stuff is going to happen. Like what? Let's go to Deuteronomy 4:33. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard and live? God is waiting to talk to His people. In the time of distress, we can call, God will answer. When you go to verse 36, listen to this. Out of the heaven, out of heaven, He let you hear His voice, that He might instruct you. On earth, He showed His great fire, and you heard His words out of the midst of the fire. So I'm confused, preach, what you're trying to say. I'm trying to say that God will speak to each one of us today. And here's the killing verse, Hebrews 3:7. God is still doing the same thing. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice. So what you're saying, preacher? Today. Now it's no longer God speaking through the clouds, through the fire. As the Holy Spirit says. Which means when you say something, it's because you're speaking. Is that right? You can think as much as you want, but it's not until you utter the word that you said something. Are we together so far? The Spirit that now takes care of the church is saying to us, today, if you will hear His voice. The continuation is, do not harden your heart as in the provocation on the wilderness. So what you're saying, preacher? Heed the voice of the Lord of your God. You might ask, how do I know it is God? If you are His sheep, you will know when He's talking to you. Amen. And you will understand that when the God is speaking to us, it's always a voice of love. And the proof was in Adam. He could have started, you stinking sinner, I made this nice garden, gave it to you, and now you're going to listen to the devil? He didn't do so. Because the voice of God is a voice of love. God may confront us with our sins, but always when God speaks to His people, He speaks in love. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
So how do I do, preacher, to hear the voice of God? Start training yourself. Because the voice of love will speak to you, and you will know that your God is talking to you. When God will address you, He will address you properly. You are my beloved. I have another scripture that I don't want to share because it's going to take some time. He said, today I have begotten you. And that's a whole new sermon. Children, when you came to Christ, you became part of that flock that He has begotten. You're part of that flock that the Spirit is talking to. And you're part of those who can hear His voice.
Amen.
Somebody sent me a post this week. Some people know, I think it was Lisa Hicks. Some people never hear the voice of God because they have already decided that they will not do it what they are told. Sometimes our religious way gets in the way of us hearing the voice of God. It is my prayer that tonight you will open yourself up. If there are tormenting thoughts of mistakes that were made in the past, that's definitely not God. Renounce it. Amen. Your God will talk to you in love. Whatever mess happened in the past is what under the bridge. You can't bring it back. So don't let any other voice accuse you of A, B, C, or D, because as far as God is concerned, His mercy will endure for 1,000 generations. And He has wiped this lot clean. If your sins are red as the scarlet, He's going to make it white. Amen. So no use to be dwelling on this and failing to hear the voice of God. And remember, the voice of love, the voice of God, is always affirmative. It is God's love for you and I is not based on our performance, but on that shed blood at Calvary Cross that brought us back to Him. May God tonight grant to at least half of you to hear His audible voice for the first time. God bless you.